The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Welcome to the Green Room at the Salford Media Festival. We've just come off stage following a session called The Radio Renaissance, which was produced impeccably, I thought, by Ashley Byrne from Made in Manchester. Let's introduce the rest of the panel. In fact, you can do it.
Well, the rest of the panel, Kirsty Reid is the editor of Witness, the history programme, award-winning history programme for the BBC World Service. Sheila DeCourcy, who's controller of RTE Junior, which is a radio station dedicated to children in Ireland. And Robert Rigby, who's a writer and adapted the recent version of Saturday Night, Sunday Morning for Radio 4.
Tell us a bit about the Salford Media Festival and why it's interesting that they allowed a session, or encouraged a session, in fact, just about radio. It's not something they used to do.
No, well, of course, the Salford Media Festival until recently was called the UK Nations and Regions Conference, and it started in 1993. I think it was kicked off with Stuart Cosgrove and all this. I think he's here this year looking back at it and celebrating it. And it's always mainly been a TV conference, really, celebrating regions and nations of the UK. In fact, Fiona Hislop is here this year from the Scottish Government talking about what's going to happen in Scotland if there's independence, what could happen to the BBC and all that kind of thing. So it's very much focused on TV and TV policy and what direction TV is going in. But this time, the conference has been renamed the Salford Media Festival. It has a big involvement with the University of Salford. And they wanted to broaden it out so that it includes more than TV, includes radio and other things. So, yes, we've got a bit of an experimental session, which you were part of. You're a guinea pig today, Trevor.
Well, thank you very much. let's go to Sheila DeCourcy now. I'm really interested in RTE Junior, because we always talk at radio conferences about how we can't get kids to listen, that teenagers are not engaged with the radio. If we're going to ever make that happen, surely we need to do a lot of broadcasting to children to get them the habit. And yet in the UK, I don't think we do enough. You're clearly, with RTE Junior, really doing that. Is that really why you wanted to have a station, particularly for children?
I think the key thing with children is, when you think about it, from even before they're born, they're listening, you know, and they're hearing things. And what we're trying to do is build in that range of skills, and also build in the fact that every child likes being told a story, and every adult likes being told a story. So if you take those kind of things from the earliest age, what we're trying to do is build on listening skills. Whether youngsters will ultimately, in their teenage years, be listening to sound on radio or on other platforms remains to be seen. But I don't think it's such a bad thing. If you introduce it early, you know, they'll always drift away. It's like climbing the mountains. They'll drift away, and hopefully they'll come back again.
When you're commissioning across radio, television and online, do you have to compromise, or is it still the best radio, the best television you can get?
I think the key thing is you think of the medium that you're creating content for, and you think sometimes it's several mediums, sometimes it's one, but sometimes things only work in radio. The most important thing is that whatever you do, it is excellent. I think compromising is actually destructive on many different levels, because ultimately what you're doing is presenting your audience with something that they're not going to want to see. So whatever it is, whether it's for online or whatever medium it's for, it's got to be the best that you can do.
Robert, you brought some fascinating audio with you, a clip from your adaptation of Saturday Night, Sunday Morning. And we talked on the panel, didn't we, about whether we could get kids to be interested in listening to more radio drama. You write books for that generation, which sell in big numbers. Do you think we could get them to do that? And in fact, do you think that what we now think of as youth radio stations should and could commission some radio drama?
I'd love it if they would. And as Sheila said, you know, I know from experience from going into schools that kids do love to listen to a story and to engage in a story. And for me, radio drama is about that, is making people engage and making them active in the process, rather than just sitting there letting something wash over them. They're listening, they are thinking, they're imagining. And I would love to see radio stations, apart from Radio 4, including Radio 4, commissioning drama for young people. After all, kids do watch drama, they watch soaps, they love soaps, you know, in big, big numbers. So if we come up with the right product, I'm convinced we could make them, not make them, encourage them to listen.
Do you think that radio drama simply suffers because when it comes to budgets, it's more expensive, you know, than a monkey with a box of records?
Yes, it is more expensive compared to television drama. Of course, it's peanuts, talking of monkeys. But yeah, it does. Ashley and I were talking last night about the possibility of two-handed dramas. Why not? You know, why not have two-handed dramas? I'm already thinking about stories that we could tell, young people's stories, young people's dramas on radio. Could be fascinating.
Kirsty Reid, you're broadcasting to people outside of the UK. You must have an interesting perspective on the power of radio, particularly outside of the, first world commercial and metropolitan centres.
Yes. I mean, the World Service obviously is an astonishing organisation that broadcasts to people who can't get objective news anywhere else, and that's the main thing it does. But since we've started making the history programme, we've realised, witness, what a massive, massive audience there is for history. And people are interested in their own history, so when we do programmes about coups in Uganda or the civil rights struggle in South Africa, we get a huge feedback on it. But by the same token, they're interested in learning about other people's history, and they seem to appreciate it. I mean, it's very hard in the World Service to know exactly what your audience is, because you're broadcasting in so many different ways, through partner stations, on shortwave, on FM, and on the internet. But so far as we can tell, people love history.
And they love stories, don't they? As Sheila was saying, it's stories.
Yeah,
as Rob was saying, the same. Yeah, that's it. Narrative.
Yes, we tell a small fraction of an event through the eyes of usually just one person, one witness, and that's how we do it. And they're very popular as downloads as well. We have sort of 600,000 downloads a month. We have another 200,000 downloads a month for the compilation program that we do at the end of every week. And people can listen to it on the tube on their way to work or in the car when they're going, people get a small burst of a story, an insight into a historic thing, and then they get to carry on with their daily life.
Yeah. Ashley, we were talking also on the panel just now about the business of being a company based in Salford. You're called Made in Manchester. As you were keen to say, that doesn't mean that you only make programmes about the North West. But I was wondering, in light of what Steve Hewlett was saying at the beginning of the conference, about what a great statement this very building is about broadcasting no longer being a London-centric, metro-centric thing. At least that was the ambition. Has it been realised?
I think it's been realised to an extent, in the sense that, yeah, we've got all these buildings here. People are coming here. You know, end of times I come to Media City and the people just literally taking pictures of the buildings. You know, I think it's a fantastic place to come. So it's become a tourist attraction overnight. And of course, Coronation Street will be here soon. And, you know, the place is getting bigger and bigger and there's more happening. I still think that my issue is that, you know, we've got Five Live here, so we engage with them a little bit. But a lot of my time as an independent producer based in the north of England is still spent going to London for meetings to discuss things about programmes from the networks in London. Very rarely do any, well, they do sometimes come up here, but a lot of the focus is going down there. And I mentioned this in the session. I often feel as though a lot of these changes, and you know, I think Peter Salmon and all the rest of them are fantastic people, and Peter obviously his roots were at Granada and all the rest of it. But I often feel as though it still feels very tokenistic, in the sense of let's do this in the north, let's do this here, let's do that kind of thing. Whereas in the old days, I always harp back to this, but I think it's important, in the old ITV regional days, that federal structure that ITV had meant that it was Manchester in the world, it was Leeds in the world, it was Birmingham in the world. You know, Lou Grade was doing the Muppet Show and whatever, and all the celebrities wanted to be on the Muppet Show, coming from Elstree or whatever it was. It wasn't done in America. He was really ambitious. And I think that's what we've got to do. We've got to stop feeling, and I still think we still feel it up to a point, that we're in the shadow of London. We need to be thinking the north of England and the world, and let's go and invade.
Well, thanks very much for having us in your Republic of Mancunia. We've had a lovely time. It's the Radio Today programme with Audio Boo. Let's have the news.
The Radio Today programme.
Thanks, Trevor. It is indeed. And this week we brought you the news that Rob and Chrissy are leaving Heart East Anglia after an amazing 14 years on air together. A new show is expected to be announced by Global Radio very soon, but good luck to you both on your next move. An historic week for UBC Media, as the company is involved in a reverse takeover with Seven Digital. It could end up seeing the merger of the two companies within the next 6 months. Certainly one to keep an eye on. Well done to Loftus Media picking up the Indie of the Year award at the Radio Production Awards this week. See them and all the winners in the latest edition of eRadio. And the full list of winners, of course, on radiotoday.co.uk. And more moves to tell you about as Mike Sweeney from Real Radio XS in Manchester is heading to BBC Radio Manchester to present the mid-morning show. And his former colleague from down the corridor in Laser House, Smooth Radio's Derek Webster, has a new gig. He's going to be covering some shows at BBC Radio Cumbria. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo. Sharing voices with the world.
Radio Moments.
Here we go with the 20. Lost Hermits, Hermits, the Isley Brothers and Liz O'Connor, and brand new at this week's number 20.
The voice of Fluff, Alan Freeman, who died 7 years ago this week, kicking off this edition of Radio Moments.
Get it now on two records or one long playing cassette, just $7.99, including postage and packing. Exclusively available from Teledisc and not in the shops.
Alan began his radio career in Australia, and this week Australian Commercial Radio celebrated its 90th anniversary on the 23rd of November 1923, 2SB launched in Sydney. Changes in the UK this week, 35 years ago. A new international frequency plan was implemented for AM across Europe, letting many stations increase their transmission power. It was just a shift of 1 or 2 kilohertz to get them all 9 kilohertz apart, so Trent, for example, moved from 998 to 999. But the BBC seized the opportunity to jiggle about just about everything.
Radio 2's on the move, 2693. Or 909 kilohertz, that's 433 or 330 meters medium wave.
So Radio 1 moved from 247 to 275 and 285. Radio 3 ended up on Radio 1's old 247 wavelength, much to the surprise, I imagine, of listeners expecting Bach and Brahms. And Radio 4 moved to Radio 2's old home on long wave.
And that's where we have to say a last sad goodbye to all those very good friends who we know have been regular listeners on the continent of Europe to 1500 metres long wave. Sorry we're losing you, but hope you've enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back on VHF after the news.
It's Thursday, November the 23rd. This is BBC Radio 4, serving the whole of the United Kingdom on 1500 metres, 200 kilohertz, and on VHF FM in England. Welcome. We're glad you found us.
Radio 4 going national meant the end of its regional opt-outs and the creation of a new Radio Scotland this week in 1978. Happy 35th. It's 25 years now since the UK's first full-time oldies stations launched. The regulator, the IBA then, had told stations to provide separate programming on their AM and FM frequencies. And after experiments, County Sound launched County Sound Gold in June 88. The Trent Group launched Solid Gold Gem AM in October, and this week in 88, Capital followed suit.
The Tony Blackburn Breakfast Show.
The very first record I played wasn't in fact Flowers in the Rain, which I opened up Radio 1 with, but it was in fact Reach Out, I'll Be There by the Four Tops. For me it was quite interesting because we were playing music from the 60s and the 70s in those days, and I of course was doing the breakfast show. I went back on the breakfast show 6 until 9 o'clock it was then, and I thought, now here I am again, years and years on, playing exactly the same music at exactly the same time in the morning.
The early days of Capital Gold. Happy 30th birthday this week to BBC Cumbria, or as it was called at the start, BBC Carlisle.
I felt that if I felt the nervousness, I felt all the listeners must be nervous as well, and so we were all in it together. And we did the opening announcement. I think my very first words were, on 206 and 397 metres medium wave and 95.6 VHF, this is BBC Radio Carlisle, the sound of Cumbria. And then we played the big jingle.
Chris Rogers, the first voice on BBC Radio Carlisle this week in 1973. This week, 18 years ago, it was farewell to this voice.
Stuart Henry. Help me. All right, lads, are we blast then?
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The weekend, baby, is starting right here. Once again, I have returned to be with you, my friends.
Stuart Henry, much loved on Radio Luxembourg, where he continued on air with his MS. Staying with Radio Luxembourg, we should also mark this week the 19th anniversary of the passing of Stephen Williams. Stephen was an early presenter, early producer, and a commercial radio pioneer. In 1933, he'd become the first English presenter on Radio Luxembourg, and he managed that station too.
I do look back that we had some very happy times then, of course, and it was awful fun having a toy with an enormous broadcasting station that you could more or less do what you liked with.
Stephen Williams, head of the English operation and the chap who reassembled that huge radio station after the war. The station struggled with finding advertisers at that stage, unlike Capital Radio many years later. And this week, 8 years ago, its owner, GCAP, announced it planned to halve the number of ads. Never more than two in a row, they promised. In the short term, Chief Executive Ralph Bernard back then said that GCAP wouldn't put airtime prices up, and revenues would fall by £7 million in year one. City analysts and media buyers described that policy as brave. 2007 now, and XFM comes to Cardiff.
As the great man said, this is my truth, tell me yours. Let this music speed through the geography, crisscross the rain-ravaged rivers and wild winds of our tiny, massive country. This is a liberation transmission. This music welcomes all skins, all voices, all languages. For music bridges all divides. This new comfort in sound, this new beginning. So God show me magic. Thank the Lord we're Welsh.
The launch of XFM South Wales this week, 6 years ago, now its capital. So with BBC Birmingham becoming WM 32 years ago and Paul Burnett's 70th birthday.
Here's a dedication on the programme from member number 13930 in the Club 208. The name is Kath.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Well, that's your Radio Today programme for this week. Thanks for listening. Congratulations to all the winners at the Radio Production Awards. Don't forget our friends at Radio Stuff who are running a poll about the year in radio this week. And next week, well, you know, Twitter's been alight with suggestions that podcasting is so, well, over. So we might just take that up. This has been a TDC production. Ta-da.